Sportageous. Sport gets smarter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sportageous Cast, where we bring you insights into the sporting world, straight from athletes, sports biz, sports professionals, and more. You might have heard we've rebranded recently and brought together the podcast in the and the video cast into one platform, so you can now watch and or listen to all of our amazing guests. So without further ado, our guest today is a former professional squash player, a digital marketing pro, maestro, whatever you'd like to call her on that front, an entrepreneur, and the founder and head coach of the UAE's upcoming squash hub, the Flying Daff Academy, Kanzi Al-Dafraoui. Welcome, Kanzi. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great. Thank you so much for this amazing introduction.
No, credit where it's due, right? Look, I want to get into the academy ASAP, but I have one question just to start off. Not too long ago, you, of course, took time out of your very, very busy schedule to MC at our virtual conference, the Squash Summit. What were your thoughts? How was it? How did it go from your side of the screen? Just like to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, I would like to say that this summit was 100% necessary. It was very much needed, not just, you know, from a squash point of view, but I think it was very important for athletes in general to, it really gave squash more exposure generally across, you know, across the globe. And it's funny because, you know, you guys are Sportageous, it's pretty new. And you only recently starting to hit into the squash market by interviewing squash players and things like that. But it's funny because some people and some organizations have been in the squash world for over 20 years, and then they were not able to come up with anything like that. And not just virtually, but even physically, you know. So it was very nice to see that people from the outside, how much value can you guys really how much value the summit really gave to people all over the world. And even for me, coming from a squash background, I knew most of the people who were talking, I know most of the speakers, but for me, it was every single session was very insightful. And I would be generous to tell you that I knew maybe 10% of the information that was shared in the squash summit from all the speakers. So it was really amazing. And if coming from a squash background, I was able to get, you know, 90% knowledge, I'm sure that anyone who was watching got at least, 50% extra knowledge than what they knew about squash. The other thing that I really enjoyed was that it didn't just have speakers, you know, players or people working in the squash organization directly. It had people who were working in tech, in the tech business, selling products, selling services. And it really gave me a proper insight on how much the game is evolving without me even realizing. For example, you had people talk about interactive squash, you had people talk about the sensors in the rackets, you know, you had someone talk about their academy in Zimbabwe. I had no idea about any of those things. So yeah. I think it was extremely insightful, very knowledgeable. And I mean, of course, now during COVID, virtual conferences are the most convenient thing, but it was really amazing for me to see people who were not necessarily, you and Furkan, the co-founders of Sportageous, you guys were not necessarily very deep into the squash market your whole lives. So just seeing you guys come up with that whole summit was really amazing. Like, really credit to you guys. The feedback was amazing. I enjoyed every second of it. And minus the technical issues of the conference, but other than that, it was really good. Kudos to you guys. Like, and I think we should definitely have Squash Summit Volume 2 or something, you know. It should be a sequel.
Yeah, look, no, I think you're being really humble on that part. I don't think we could have done any of it without your help and support throughout the conference. There were a couple of situations which we've talked about off screen where I didn't know how to handle things. So you just came on and ran with the show. So, you know, really, really appreciate that. And you touched on interviewing athletes in the squash world. And I don't know if a lot of people listening or watching know this, but you were the first squash athlete that we ever spoke to at Sportageous. And since then, you know, we've had 40 or 50 different features with various athletes and other squash professionals. So it's been amazing. And in terms of a squash summit volume 2, we'll definitely be having one, but who knows, by then this academy of yours will have definitely picked up, and that would be a story on its own to have you on as a speaker rather than as an MC. So that's definitely something that's on the cards, and we'll certainly be talking about it, I hope. But Kenzie, let's get straight into it. Give me the lowdown. The Flying Daff Academy.
Okay.
When is it happening? Where is it happening? Why is it happening? Essentially, just the overarching idea behind it and what we can expect to see once it's launched officially.
So basically, just to give you like super quick answers to these, you know, to these questions, and that'll give you a bit more of a detailed background. So when is it happening? It's launching officially on the 21st of May. Where is it happening? It's happening at Jumeirah Beach Hotel. So Jumeirah Beach Hotel, they have two locations with squash courts. We're starting off at Minas Salem, and then after a couple of months, we're going to expand and use the courts at the J Club as well. So we're going to be using five courts, and they're only 2 minutes away from each other. So when, where, why? You said why. Why? Because it's my ultimate dream, you know, to really create something that's mine, to really create an impact. But I'll go in more depth later on. Just to give you some, like, a bit more background on this, I've been trying to work on this in the past 3 years. I moved to Dubai 3 years ago after living in America for a bit less than seven years. And people were like, what is she doing in Dubai? Is she doing squash? Is she, you know, but I think people really underestimate the amount of work that you have to do to be able to build something like a squash academy, especially in a country where squash is very underrated. So it's been a lot of work in the past 3 years, really, you know, studying the market, trying to really see where the gap is, where I can fit, when to start, who to target, all of these kind of things to be able to put myself on the right track. And I actually had to go work in a lot of different industries that had nothing to do with squash, but to give myself the knowledge that I need to be able to run this academy.
Yeah, look, I mean, you, like I said in the introduction, you're doing so many things and you've been doing so many things. So I can just instantly understand how all of them sort of come together to this pinnacle, which is now the next step in your journey. And I think, you know, it's going to be amazing. But sort of now coming to that expanding part of things, Kenzie, what are you aiming to achieve with the academy? And from what I understand, obviously, as you know, I lived in the UAE myself for almost 17 years. From what I understand, nothing like this has really been done in the UAE before. So tell me a little bit about what the aim is here, and, you know, why, what makes the Flying Daff Academy different?
So basically, when I first moved here, it was very easy to kind of, you know, if I would go to any hotel or any, for example, you know, Radisson Blue, Meridian, Sheraton, any club, they don't really have pros there. So it was very easy for me to put my foot down and say, okay, I'm a former professional athlete. I have done so many achievements. This is my CV. Can I work here? Same thing with sports clubs. I could go to Fitness First. I could go, you know, anywhere and kind of be established there. But I chose the long, you know, the long path, which is why it took me a lot more time than it should. My biggest goal was to collaborate with a governmental entity. And that is because I don't want just to create, an academy based anywhere and where the location doesn't really matter. Because at the end of the day, the location, even though it's just squash courts, it really makes the biggest difference where you're based, you know? Who are you? Who am I associating my name with for the long term? So my biggest goal was basically to collaborate with a governmental entity. And of course, this is really hard to do in the UAE. But, you know, one thing led to another, and I really, you know, I really pushed all my connections, and I really kept chasing. And eventually I was able to collaborate with Jumeirah Group. And the Jumeirah Group, they have a bunch of hotels. And of course, some of their hotels have squash courts. And this is how it happened. Jumeirah Group are under Dubai Holdings, which is a semi-governmental entity. So I got what I wanted, which is basically to collaborate with the governmental entity. And the reason why I wanted that is because my long-term goal is I want to build a UAE national team. So you asked me, why is this academy so different? There's actually a bunch of academies here, and there were some that closed. And, you know, it's not like this is the first academy in the UAE. It's not. But it would be the first academy in the UAE to really create a UAE national team, because that does not exist. To really be able to create a squash federation, because that does not exist. And once we really create an impact locally, then those players who are playing in the name of the UAE can start competing globally, can start playing tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, in the long run, this is basically my biggest goal, is to create the UAE national team. And this is really something that no one has ever done before, whether in Dubai or any other city here. And
I think that's absolutely amazing. And one point that I sort of was hoping you could expand on is, because I don't really have this understanding, and I'm sure people would like to know as well. So from what I do know, if you want to represent the UAE nationally, you don't necessarily, in certain sports, again, maybe you can clarify this, you have to have lived in the country for a certain amount of time, as it is, I understand, in sports like soccer, perhaps, or football, as you call it over there. Will this UAE team that you're working towards purely be Emirati, which is, of course, UAE nationals, or will it include people who have just live there and will represent the country?
Yeah, that's actually a very good point that you brought this up. So there are two main things about this. The first one is you don't need to be fully Emirati to play for the UAE national team, but you do need the passport. So you can't be from, you know, Egypt and then come and play with an Egyptian passport. You do need the passport. So what happens in other sports is that, you know, if someone wants to play for the UAE national team and they want them, you know, the UAE wants them to play for that sport, then they just offer them the nationality, and then that person plays in the name of the national team. So for a short goal, because it's easier and it's quicker, right? If I have, you know, five people, then we can somehow work out a deal with, you know, the government, where it's like, okay, we do have five really talented players, but they're not from the UAE. Can we potentially give them the, you know, the nationality, so that the passport, so that they can play with the UAE national team? But this is, of course, a shortcut. Things don't happen that easily. And the UAE passport is the most powerful in the world, and it's one of the most prestigious nationalities to have. So this might not be doable instantly. But again, the main goal, again, the long-term goal, is to build that generation of champions from scratch. So one of the biggest aims, and, you know, one of the biggest missions of the academy, is to really target schools, particularly, you know, kids from 5 or 6 years old until 13 or 14 years old maximum, to really start introducing squash for kids, really start like educating children what squash is, adding it to the PE activity, you know, PE program in schools, adding it as an extracurricular activity for schools as well. And when that's happening, then, you know, potentially in 5-6 years, we could have a proper team, because I'm not talking world-class champions in 5-6 years, but I'm saying 5-6 years, you could actually have people who, you know, you could have a proper team who can start competing with other countries as well. So you have these two options.
Yeah, look, I think that whole grassroots idea is phenomenal. I always, it's really interesting that you bring up the whole schooling idea, because I remember as a kid in school, every Tuesday, we would go for 1 hour to the ice skating rink from school in Dubai. You know, I still know how to ice skate. I just don't use it anymore because I never ice skate. But even if people are obviously coming into squash through those channels, a lot of what you are offering and aiming to do will be utilized that way. So I guess the next thing that I sort of wanted to touch on, because from what I understand, you know, you will also be through the academy, you will enable pathways for people to achieve other things in their lives as well. So you studied and lived in the USA and that sort of thing. So tell me a little bit about those benefits for people to join the academy, or let's say, you know, if you're looking at young children, what are the benefits to their parents, for their kids, and so on?
Yeah, of course. So basically the academy, you know, as a motto, we encourage people of all ages, of all levels, of all, you know, no matter what your fitness level is, no matter what your experience is, if you've never played squash before, what your background is, we really encourage everyone to play. So, you know, the goal is to push everyone to have a healthier lifestyle. It's really easy to get caught up in a lazier lifestyle in Dubai because everything is so easy. You know, people don't really, walking here is not common. People don't go out for walks daily.
Oh, believe me, I know.
So more like, you know, it's fancier. It's more of a lazy lifestyle. So we really want to push people to, especially with the weather, Dubai is very hot and, you know, squash, you can really get that workout in. You know, you burn an insane amount of calories in such a short time. You can work out in the air conditioning, but still, you know, still burns 500 to 600 calories per hour. So we really want to push everyone to, you know, join, get healthier, get in better shape. In terms of the children and the kids in general, so we are promoting squash not just as a sport to get healthier, but also as a sport that will create uncountable opportunities for your children. And this is a message to parents, but this is also a message to children. You would be really surprised to how many kids have no idea about the opportunities they could have abroad because of sports. I'm one of those people. You know, I grew up in Egypt. I had no idea that I could be recruited to go to America to play college squash. I didn't even know college squash existed. So squash is one of those sports where, because it's so rare, it's not that common, you know, worldwide, not a lot of people play, it's much easier for you to get recruited as a squash player than as a football player, for example, because everyone plays football or basketball. Everyone plays basketball. But so if you're an okay basketball player, you don't really have opportunities to go abroad. You have to be amazing. But if you're an okay squash player, if you're average, you actually have those opportunities to go abroad and play for really good universities as well. So we really want to introduce that, you know, that idea, and to really explain to parents that squash will give your kids those amazing opportunities to go study abroad as student athletes. And at the same time, it will completely shape their character. I mean, squash really, you know, it teaches people to be disciplined. It teaches kids to be competitive, to be respectful, you know, to be, you know, to train for a purpose. It really, really, really shapes the life of kids growing up. So it's, you know, it's amazing. And the way we're doing things in the academy, it's because we don't have that many courts. Everything is more like group sessions, fun activities, competitions, prizes, giveaways. It's like a much more fun environment that is not at all stressful on the kids, and that will, you know, create that sense of community. Like, that's what we're looking for. We want to create a community, a safe space where kids will wake up and say, I want to go train, because they really want to go train. They're not forced to go train. No one is forcing them to go play squash. Same thing with adults. We want it to be a safe space where, you know, people can finish work and just the first thing they do is head to the squash courts, because that's the safest they feel. And that's, you know, they feel like they're getting their workout in, and the environment, it's a healthy environment. It's a healthy, you know, safe space where we're building a community together. So that's the main, you know, main purpose of the academy.
Look, I think it's incredible work that you're doing. And I'm really, really excited to sort of see how things play out. And it's obviously so unique. And as you've touched on already, I will say to everyone watching or listening, be sure to go on Instagram and follow the academy. It's very simple. The Flying DAF. So that's the Flying and then DAF, which of course is a nickname that Kenzie went by for a long time. So if I'm not mistaken, Kenzie, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was actually, It was a bit of a, you know, of a challenge to find the name of the, for the academy, because in the beginning I had so many options like Dubai Squash Academy, UAE Squash Academy, Aspire Squash Academy, you know, these general things. And then I realized that it would take me so much more time to create something from scratch, because the Flying Duff is already a brand on its own. And I really like the story behind it as well. It's very personal. It's very, you know, it's very relatable to me. So I thought it would be really good to just, instead of rebranding and, you know, kind of starting from scratch, just use what I have, use what I'm known for. And then that would be the name. So,
yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know what it references, just head on over and type it out on YouTube. And I'm sure you'll get some videos of Kanzee on the pro tour, with some of her amazing flying around the court. So be sure to check that out. And once again, do go follow the Flying Duff Academy on Instagram. Just before we conclude, Kanzee, you know, of course, you're doing all this incredible stuff and you're launching the academy, but I'm pretty certain it's not just you behind the scenes. Who else is going to be working with you? Tell me a little bit about, you know, the team and what exactly is going on that front.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm the face of the academy, but I wouldn't be able to do it without, I don't even know how many they are right now. I think we're about 17 or 18 people behind me right now. So it's not just me at all. Yes, I am the face of the academy. It's my brand, it's my idea, it's my hard work, but at the same time, there's so much work that goes behind the scenes that no one is really aware of. Firstly, I have 6 coaches that will be working with me. We're currently working on an extensive program before the launch. So, you know, we have weekly workshops. We try to, you know, brainstorm, come up with the program, develop our coaching strategies. Like, there's so much work that we're putting in right now so that when we launch, the philosophy is one, the teaching, you know, everyone is teaching the same. So if someone books a class with me or a private lesson with, you know, one of my other coaches, for example, they would get the exact same value out of both of us. So that's the, you know, that's the plan. So I have the coaches, I have fitness coaches, and then the back end team. So I have a strategic advisor, I have a graphic designer, I have a PR person, marketing person, website developer, social media person. I honestly lose track. I just have, like, I have a whiteboard outside where I write everyone's names with their roles. I have an accountant, I have an admin person, I have someone, a content writer, and someone responsible for sponsors. So it's really a big team. I can definitely not do it on my own. There's a lot of work that goes, you know, behind the scenes, and a lot of things that I'm not an expert at, so I would need the support. I have a legal advisor as well, and she saves my life. She's already saved my life multiple times. So I mean, creating something that big, I wanted to make sure that everything is, you know, everything is being done the right way. If we're gonna do a marketing campaign, it has to be perfect. If we're gonna do things legally, everything needs to be legally perfect. If we're gonna do, you know, everything just needs to be on point, because I don't want to worry about anything in the back end. I just want to focus on creating the best squash program that I can possibly create and offer people the best value that they can get. So for me to do that, for me to be fully focused on that, I need other people to take care of, you know, the other stuff, so that it doesn't distract me or take me away from what I'm really supposed to do.
Well, look, Kanzee, that is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I can't imagine what it's like with 17 plus staff members. We don't have that many at Sportageous. It's, you know, just over a handful, but that gets busy in itself. So kudos to you. And I'm really, really excited to see how things pan out. Obviously, we've been in touch ourselves for a while, and to see how your journey has developed is incredible and fantastic to hear that, you know, we're going to get this purpose built academy essentially for a UAE national team, which I think is much needed. And like you touched on, squash is ideal for the region. You know, it's hot outside, you can play with an AC on. Indoor sport is the way to go. Like, I know I remember playing football in 45 degrees Celsius in the summer, it was not nice. So
yeah.
So squash is like the perfect sport for it, right? And just as we finish, Kanzi, I had one last question for you. Let's think of this as a perfect world. Everything pans out the way you want it to. 5 years from now, where do you see the Flying Deaf Academy?
So something that I also like, it's really good you asked that because I didn't mention it, but something that I really believe in is having a global impact. So yes, my current goal is to really have, you know, local impact, really impact the local community, help kids and stuff. But then eventually I want the academy to go global. And by that, I mean, have international camps, whether we host people, whether we go, really have, you know, a UAE national team in 5 years, I think it's completely doable. And to really have, you know, to really get the name out there. So it's to expand on a global scale where we're involved in anything squash related, you know, whether it's junior tournaments, professional tournaments, you know, whether we're hosting professional tournaments, you know, creating them, sending the kids to camps or receiving other countries to have camps. But it's really that global impact that I would be looking for in 5 years.
Well, look, I wish you all the best, and I'm pretty certain we'll continue to keep in touch and, you know, follow up with you on this in a few months or a year or whatever it might be. Look, Kanzi, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you as always. And for everyone watching or listening, wherever you are, be sure to check out the caption or the description. Follow Kanzi on all her social media. And of course, follow the Flying Deaf Academy. Kanzi, thank you so much. And really from all of us at Sportageous, good luck. And we're really, really excited for what is to come next.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.